All right. Please find your way back to your seats. One more final high five and then make your way back to your seats. Please. All right, thanks. All right, so this morning we have a very special treat. Pepe Rojas, who is our pastor of our Grace Espanol congregation, he's been preaching up there for months now, and we finally get an opportunity to hear him preach here. He will be preaching in English, correct?
Yes.
Okay, in English. He's also really good at correcting my Spanish, if you missed that one Sunday. That was fun. So, Pepe Rojas, everybody. Here he is.
Well, it's not going to be in English. It's not going to be in Spanish. It's going to be in Spanglish. Okay. Many of you don't know me, and it's good. It's okay. I'm fine with that. But let me say a little bit about who I am, okay? I born in Santiago, Chile. I am 59 years old, a little old. Gray hair. Gordon, the gray one. Yeah, it's just a little of snow. I have three kids. I born in a dysfunctional family. My father was a drunk guy all the time, very violent. I don't have brothers or sisters. Looked like my father was a little lazy. That was a joke, okay? I don't know, maybe it was much better because he was a bad man, very bad man. He lived home when I was 5 years old and never came back. I grew up, my mother was a very hard worker. She worked in a factory during night. For that reason, during the day, she was sleeping. She don't have time to take care of me. Finally, she found a lady who raised me. I grew up in a very... That lady over there raised my life. She became my mother. I grew up, that was my house, my home. We were in a neighborhood where we were a poor neighborhood. My family was the poorest in that neighborhood. In that street, there was around 4 or 5 cantinas, all of them illegal. That means the street was full of drunk people every single day. That means I saw many violence on the street every day, a lot of prostitutes in my neighborhood, a lot of domestic violence. The police was always there. I saw people fighting with knife. I saw people dying in the street. And I grew up in that neighborhood. By the grace of God, He came to my life and saved my life and changed completely my culture. I grew up in the street fighting, but the Lord came and said, no, you are going to do something different. He changed me. And I became a missionary with my wife in 1986. And for 15 years, we were missionaries working in Africa, in Central America, South America. We raised churches like this one. I became friends with fishermen. I was in Rwanda during the war, 1994, helping to the refugee camps. And because I love soccer, but not soccer, sorry, football, the real football, these gringos. Change the picture, that one. That was my team. I coached this team, and my team became champion in the nation of Equatorial Guinea by the grace of Lord. I use this coaching to preach the gospel to not only my player, but for all the fans who follow my team. They know that I am a missionary and preaching the gospel in their country. I make many different things in my life, and I'm very grateful to be here today. Immigration. This is a very difficult issue. I am immigrant. I am an immigrant. You can notice my English is now still broken. But immigration is a non-easy issue. It's complex, very complex, because each case is a world. Each case is different one another, and becomes even more difficult and complex when the opinions, the ideas that we have about immigration are based in the media or in the political opinion or what other things about immigration. I know that some of you have an idea about immigration, and maybe some of your ideas are very, very strong about the immigration and about the immigrants, who are people. People who was created by God in His imagine. We are all the same. The only difference for us is what we have in our passport. That is the difference. But in the eyes of the Lord, we are equal. We are the same. Again, we have opinions. We have ideas about immigration. But most of the time, there is a part, a big part, that is missing in this picture. And this is what the Bible says about this. What is my biblical perspective about immigration? And I hope that in the next couple, 3 hours, I can share with you brother, how many minutes I have for this? Really? 2? 10:30. Okay. Okay, let's be clear. Immigration occur throughout the world. Okay? That is nothing like America think immigration is a big problem. We have a lot of issues here with this immigrant. Brother, it's not just this country. It's the world. Wherever you go, there is a movement of people running, crossing the border in all the world. This is nothing new. I'm coming just 2 days ago from Chile. And I was so impressed because I haven't been in my country for the last 6 years. And there is a lot of black people in my country right now. Where do these people come from? Because years ago, we was brownie, mostly white and brownie, but no black people. Where do these people come from? Well, we have people coming from Haiti. We have people coming from Ecuador. We have people coming from Colombia. We have people coming from Peru. A lot of different people. I just walking on the street and I can notice different languages, different faces, different stature. My country is completely changed. The thing is, walking in the street of Santiago for me was, how my people is responding to these people. Most of the time, how they respond are not very good. they respond with discrimination. They respond rude. And let me share a little bit more ahead how people respond to the immigrant. The Bible, the Word of God, also give us many examples of immigrants. Just to name a few. Just to name a few. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, being a baby, he was carried by mother and father to Egypt, running because his life was in danger. He ran. He crossed the border. They lived from this nation, their land, to Egypt. We don't know how long they stayed in Egypt, but they ran, tried to save the precious life of this baby. Jacob, he sent their sons to Egypt. Go get food because we are dying. We don't have nothing here in our land. Go and bring food to us. Don't look this something similar, something familiar for us? That people are crossing the border looking for save their life, or because people are dying because they don't have food in their places, or they don't have jobs in their places. And this country is an incredible country. Elimelech and Naomi is another example. There was a famine in their place, in Judah, Bethlehem. You know, Bethlehem is the place where Lord Jesus Christ born. And Elimelech says to his wife and their children, we need to leave. We need to go. Because if we stay here, we are going to die. Because we need food. And they went to Moab. And they stayed in Moab. They live looking for a best future. The book of Ruth is amazing for me. Touch my life all the time when I read this book. Perhaps the most known portion of the book of Ruth is this. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people. And your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. Who is speaking is a pagan, a woman from Moab. Now she is talking to a Jewish lady, saying, I'm going with you. Wherever you go, I am with you. Your God is going to be my God. I am struck by the declaration of this woman. Because she is going to be exposed to a reality, a harsh reality. She will leave her land to be an immigrant in Judea. Elimelech and Naomi, they were immigrants from Bethlehem to Moab. And years later, her daughter-in-law became an immigrant too in Judea. If you read the book of Ruth, you are going to find very interesting passage, very interesting areas speaking about immigration, about immigrants. One of the things Boaz says to their people, don't bother these women. Do you remember that? What do you think he is asking to their worker, don't bother these women? Why? Because she was an immigrant. She was different. She dressed different. She speak different with an accent like mine. They can recognize immediately that she is an immigrant in their place. When they reach Bethlehem, the Bible says that the whole city went and to meet Naomi. The whole city went to see Naomi coming back to their place. There is any reference about Ruth? Ruth is there with Naomi. There is none, zero, nada. No reference about, nobody ask, who is this lady who is with you? Who is this girl? You know why? Because many times we, the immigrants, we are invisible. People don't want to see us. I know this because I have been in restaurants, in other places when they attend other people. I was there first and they don't attend me. Because I am an immigrant, invisible. I there, but they don't see me. They don't want to see me. The same thing happened with Ruth. Now, that was the introduction. Let's see 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to be focused in Paul, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul the Apostle says this, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but don't have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mystery and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but don't have love, I am nothing. And you can continue from verse 1 to verse 7. He's talking about love and love and love and giving us example, incredible example about how is the love. The real love. Who is he speaking? Who is this guy? How was this man? He grew up in a culture. We don't know nothing about their parents, how they raised this boy, but very probably I believe that they raised this young boy in a very strict way, close to the law. He received an example from their parents, and he grew up like a jealous man by the law. Culture refers to the cumulative deposit of knowledge, experience, beliefs, values, attitudes, meanings, hierarchies, religions, notions of time, roles, relations, concepts of the universe. That is culture. He grew up receiving this from their own people. He learned about the friends. He learned about the family. He learns about the neighbors. He learned how to live. And every human group has had and has its own culture, belief, values, mindset, worldview. We have our culture here in the valley. I have my own culture because I'm coming from my country. You know, I have my backpack with my culture. So I have good things in my culture, yes. Some of the things that I have in my backpack are not very good because I learn from my people. I grow up with that. In the Old Testament, we found a community, a people, a nation, following their custom, tradition, beliefs. Thousands of years of identity. Thousands of years. From generation to generation have transferred their culture. The law is important. Follow the law. Follow the law. Obedience to the law. Don't do that. Kill your enemies. You know? Paul, the apostle, he received the same input. He was fed, again, by his culture. During the ministry of Jesus Christ, many times, he introduced to his culture something completely new and radical to its ancient culture. He came, the Son of God came to this ancient culture. And he says something very and absolutely new to their people. Never before heard, nor seen. Very probably for most of these people was very difficult to accept what Jesus was saying. Some example. When the disciples came to the Lord and said, Lord, please, teach us how we can pray. And he says, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. How he started this teaching? Father, the Jewish people never call God Father. Never. They call Elohim, Adonai, and all that names. Nisi, Jehovah Jireh. But they never call Father. And Jesus is saying to these people, this is the way that you need to pray. This is the way, Father. For some of them, maybe it was very difficult to accept this new thing. But he was introducing something completely new in this ancient culture. Love your enemies. This is completely new. Matthew 5:38, 39. You have heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury. An eye for eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. Something new. Revolutionary. In the Last Supper, he says something, a couple of things, very amazing. He says, take the bread, and he says, This is my body. Eat it. He take the cup and say, this is my blood. Drink it. They never heard, even imagined something like this. What I'm saying is, Jesus introduced something new in the culture. And my hope, my pray for Grace Covenant Church this morning is that we can learn something about that we can change our culture about immigration. Even when we learn something about immigration, we can change by the power of the Lord, for the Lord, by the Lord. He talked with a woman. He met with a tax collector, something that they never met. The message, the actions of our Lord Jesus Christ was revolutionary. A message, an action that changed the culture. Even when this culture have thousands, centuries, they change it. Let's go to Paul. Let's go back to Paul, the apostle. How I see this man. If I could contextualize what he did, I could say right now, it was as the leader of ISIS. He was a criminal. He was persecuting the church. Torturer, murderer. The Saint Paul gave us a picture about how he was him. Galatians 1:13-14. He says, you know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion. How I violently persecuted God's church. I did my best to destroy it. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the tradition of my ancestors. During that time, he was following his culture. I don't think this was a bad guy. I don't think so. He was following what he believed was good in order to keep the tradition, in order to keep his culture. Philippians 3:6. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church, and as for the righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Could you have a picture of this man? He was so... Again, for me, when I was preparing this message in Chile, I was thinking in ISIS. This man was like a leader of ISIS, persecuting the Christians, killing them, put in jail, torture them. There is many other passages about this. 1 Timothy 1:13. Even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ, in my insolence I persecuted his people. But God has mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Luke, in the book of Acts 8:3. But Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. Now, going back to 1 Corinthians 13, how this man is talking now about love? How change him? How someone who was in this area of the culture now is in this other side and telling us how we need to love? Culture makes a big difference. You can be there or you can be here. You can have an idea about immigration because you grow in a culture, in a media, in a political idea about this issue. But if we don't have the Lord, if the Lord is not involved in this conversation, very probably you are going to stay here with your own idea. And your own idea is persecuted, put in jail. The law. Many people talk to me about the law, about this situation. Oh, the immigrant, this illegal immigrant, they broke the law. But I believe with all my heart there is a superior law. It's the love of God. We have these people here in our country. We have a great opportunity to preach the gospel, to reach to this immigrant with the gospel. Philip, you tell to my wife, how many different nations are in your school? 45. You was talking, Aaron. Yes, it's Aaron. You was talking about this issue. We have a great opportunity in this city, in this state, to make change, real change. But again, we can't do this change if we continue it with our culture focus and our idea about this and taking out of the picture what the Bible says. The Bible says, open your heart. Look at for the orphan. Look at for the widows. Look at for the foreigners. Don't put the finger. Love them. I'm not going to be in a discussion about what the law says. No, it's not my job. My job is, like a pastor here, is to love one another and embrace all of them. I know, and I'm very embarrassing when I saw in the news that some of my people, Latinos, are making bad things. I don't like it. But you know what? That is the minority. The big number of people is good people. People who want to serve in the country, being a good influence in the country. We have a church right crossing that hall over there. We have a church. We have a great opportunity. For many years, when I came to this church the first time, Pastor Merle says to me, we have two congregations running in the same direction, but in separate rail. We want to be one. I'm here for this. I want to be one. At the end, you, me, the Asians, the Africans, the Latinos, we was created by God in His own image. There is no difference. Some weeks ago, Pastor Merrill was sharing here. There is no more barriers. There is no more divisions. The Lord Jesus Christ destroyed all the barriers. Don't build the barrier again. Don't do it. He has destroyed. Embrace to our brother and our sister. My job is to encourage you. But my job is to encourage my people too to cross the bridge and be one. This is the reason because Paul have absolutely authority to talk to us about love. He changed. The same people that he persecuted, tortured, murdered, they became brothers and sisters in Christ. A big change. Brothers, sister, we are living an incredible time. God is giving us the great, great opportunity to make big changes. What is in your passport? In my passport, what I have is a seal that says every single one is welcome. You don't need visa. The door is open. When we sang that song, openly, the gates, every single one is welcome. Dancer who dance upon injustice, do you want to dance? I want to dance. I want to dance against the injustice. I want to see the old and the young, the Latino and the Asian singing and proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. I want to see this neighborhood over here resound with singing. Do you want to see this? The song says, do you hear? Do you hear the mountain tremble? Do you hear the people tremble? Did you hear the darkness tremble? Did you hear? I want to hear that. I want to see this area. I call this area the United Nations over here. I want to reach that neighborhood for the Lord. I want to go and embrace them and say, you know what? You came from Africa running from your life. You was living in a poor refugee camps, and now you are here. Let me say, Jesus Christ loved you. The Lord God loved you. For the Muslim, for the atheist, for the homosexuals and lesbian, I want to go with them, to them, and proclaim the gospel. Lord, change our culture. Change our culture. Remove humans' ideas. Remove the opinion of CNN or Fox or wherever. Remove it. I want to hear your voice. And nothing more than your voice in this. Let's pray. Can I call the worship team come? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord. You are an amazing God. Amazing God. Thank you, because there is no longer Jew and Gentile. There is no longer legal or illegal. We are one. We are one. Because you have this in your heart, that all of us became one in you. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the past, some of us, we have some wrong ideas, wrong opinion. Please forgive us, Lord. And allow to us to embrace everyone. Everyone. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the challenge that we have. Give us wisdom, Lord. Give us the strength to love one another. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.